a still small voice. And it was Elijah who heard the still small voice. And it took a bit of preparation for him to get still enough to hear that still small voice. He had to be prepared. We've shared about God saying, be of good courage and I'll strengthen your heart. And we know that there are shakings that shake everything in our lives. People have experienced that. I know testimonies of endurance, enduring faith, in going through things that just bring a shaking to us, spirit, soul, and body. But those shakings bring forth an eternal thing that cannot be shaken. Everything else might be, but something comes through that is not shaken, and that remains. So courage is asked for. God strengthens the heart. There's comfort and renewal. The courage comes. A chapter closes, and a new chapter is waiting to open. It's a time of transition when that happens in our lives. And I know there have been many of you that have sat through things over the last months. And something has come to pass and you're thinking, what next? Well, what next is a period of transition, a time of comfort and renewed strength. That's what happens. And the course is set for a new way forward. Life has its seasons. We've heard today testimony about this nation coming out of drought and into rain, through a crisis, through a shaking. And so there is a nation now with the rain and a new chapter about to open. More challenges, but one is over. A shaking has happened. I believe God has brought something forth in the hearts of people who trust him and believe in him. A prayer has been answered, but now there is a course being set for a new way forward. And that's in this nation, in the United States, a shaking which is now stopped and a president has not been impeached. Now there's a transition and there's a course set for a new way forward. Everything has its time and its season, and it brings about a shaking, and something remains with which to go forward in God. Look at England. You can go back for three or more years, but in the last months, as they leave the United Nations, the European Union, that's been a shaking for the entire nation. That has come to an end. The shaking has stopped. There is now a new course being set forward. There are nations going through shakings. And things will come to a resolution for a certain kind of a shaking, and then there will be a new challenge. Look at China right now. Look at globally, a challenge with the coronavirus. That's something that is shaking all things, spirit, soul, and body. Look at Israel and Palestine. Look at Iran and the United States. So it doesn't matter where you go. These are the times of shaking for a new way forward. Now, the Bible says that Elijah was a man that experienced the same human emotions as us. James chapter 5, it says he was a man of like passions as we are. He felt the frailty of his limited humanity. But he was a man that, along with his fears and weaknesses, he was given courage and strength by God. He was given a prayer to pray that for 3.5 years there would be no rain in the land of Israel. Judgment was coming on these people, a drought of 3.5 years, because they had turned to idolatry, to worship false gods. So God gave Elijah a prayer, and also that at the end of that 3.5 years, God would use him to bring the rain. He was a man. He must have felt, well, What do I have to do? How does this affect my daily comings and goings? Well, it did. Elijah had to battle the prophets of Baal. Let me explain. Israel in idolatry, a bad, evil king, Ahab, with an even more evil wife, Jezebel, waiting for the rain to come. Elijah says, this is the judgment of God. And he says, I am going to go to the top of Mount Carmel and I am going to pray and your God is going to send you rain. And you'll see the power of your God and your hearts can be turned so that you can begin to worship the true God. Well, the prophets of Baal said, game on. We'll meet you there. But it will be our God, Baal, that brings the rain. And so the battle was engaged. Elijah goes up onto the mountain. You remember the story? And he builds an altar, pours water around the altar. The prophets of Baal build their altar. They're praying for God to bring lightning to fire their altar and start it. But nothing happens. And of course Elijah prays to God and lightning hits the altar. Fire leaps up. The sacrifice is offered. And the rain comes. Elijah has just brought a nation to repentance. He's defeated the prophets of Baal. Now you think, well, Elijah can relax now. Battle's over, game on, game over. I can now relax. Everything's going to be fine. But it's very interesting. Elijah, being like us, with the same human emotions that we had been through an enormous shaking in his own life. He had to summon the courage, get the strength from God, face the evil prophets. But it had happened. But then, even though he won the battle, he gets a panic attack because he hears that Ahab and Jezebel are after him to kill him. Jezebel said, just as you killed the prophets of Baal, we're going to kill you. But he had about a day to get out of there, and he did. And he runs away and wants to die. Finds a tree and says, I'll die here. Handy, I can die here and get buried here. So he'd shown his courage, but now he didn't know what to do. He was still affected by the shaking and afraid of the future. And God shows us in this that there's a time when there's been a shaking that he transitions us from knowing how to come back into a place of rest and comfort to hear the still small voice for the next part of the journey. And that's what Elijah had to hear. And you think, well, he's running away. The angel comes to Elijah when he's running and says, you've got a long trek ahead of you. Because Elijah actually, when he was encouraged by the angel to go on that trek, began to head for the mountain of God. He thought he was running away, but deep down he knew he was running to God. He ran to Mount Sinai, where Moses met God on the top of the mountain. And Elijah starts to get there, to trek there. 40 days and 40 nights, and the angel says, better have something to eat. This is going to be a long journey. So he goes there because he really does want to hear God. Now he does keep hearing God, even on that journey. He gets to the mountain. But God keeps asking him this question. Before he hears the still small voice, what he hears is, what are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here? Let's just look at this little account in 1 Kings 19:7. The angel of the Lord comes, touches him and says, get up, eat some more or the journey ahead will be too much. He got up, he ate and drank and he had enough strength to travel 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. There he came to a cave where he spent the night. But the Lord said, what are you doing here, Elijah? Now you could say, well, Elijah, why didn't you just say to the Lord, I'm waiting to hear your voice, Lord. I want to know what to do next. But the shaking had affected Elijah. emotionally and now physically, he's come a long way. And God says, what are you doing here? And he, instead of saying, well, I'm just wanting to have a rest to hear from you, he says, I've zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you. They tore down your altars. I killed every one of their prophets. I am the only one left. Our prophets have been killed, and now they're trying to kill me too. That's not really an answer. God says, what are you doing here? In other words, he was trembling. God says to him, go out and stand before me on the mountain. So he was in a cave. And this is often what happens when you've been through a shaking. If something happens that you've had the courage, you've had the patience, you've waited, you've hung in there, and then you've seen something come through that surprised you and you say, this is God's answer. Thank you, Lord. But then there's a time when you need to be ready for what next? So Elijah had to come out of the cave. But as Elijah stands there, outside of the cave, because when he's in the cave, all he can get is the sound of the rocks being torn loose. Winds blowing, an earthquake coming. That's all he hears in the cave. But the Lord wasn't in the wind. The Lord wasn't in the storm. Then there was a fire, but the Lord wasn't in the fire. And after the fire, there was a still, small voice. And he can hear this still, small voice, but he's in the cave. He wraps his face in his cloak. He goes out and stands at the entrance of the cave. And the voice says again, what are you doing here, Elijah? Now, that's not really the still, small voice that he was waiting for. That's another command. Tell me what you're doing here, Elijah. And he says again, I've served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant, torn down the altars. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me. It's still not the right answer. It's still all about how Elijah feels, what Elijah's doing, and not what God is doing. And that's why God had to get him still. At least he had him in the right place, the mountain of the Lord, the place where he wanted to meet God. So the Lord says to him, and here comes the still, small voice. Go back the same way you came. Travel to the wilderness of Damascus. In other words, God says, well, you've come all this way. You were upset. You've been shaken. You had your courage. I did that work through you. The prayer was answered. And now I'm bringing you to a place where I can comfort you to get you still, because now I have a word for you to go forward. And that's what God wants to do with each one of us. It's one thing to have the prayer, to get the courage, to go through the shaking, to wait patiently for God, then to receive an answer from God that perhaps was an unexpected one. But then there comes the time of, well, now I have to regroup and hear what God is saying for the new chapter that's opening. And just as I believe in the nations, as they've been through shakings, there is a new voice waiting to bring direction, I believe, right across the world. There are many of God's people waiting to hear what's next. Despite the shakings, the afflictions, and you say, well, God couldn't have been in them. God was in them. And he may have heard us when he said to us, what are you doing here? We may have said to him, what am I doing here? I'm upset, Lord. I don't know what that was all about. Why did I have to go through all of that? Why did the people that I was praying for have to go through that kind of affliction and distress? What's it all about? And God said, it has come about to end a certain chapter, to bring about a new way forward for you. I've used it all. You may have thought it had no meaning. It has had meaning. It has strengthened you, because in your courage, I strengthened your heart and I gave you a new hope. And here was his word. You go back now the same way. In other words, go back to where you were. When you arrive there, anoint Hazael to be king of Aram, anoint Jehu to be king of Israel, and anoint Elisha, the son of Shaphat, to follow you as my prophet. Now, this was major strategic planning. That was the still small voice. I'm going to give you people around you that are going to help you. They're going to support you. There are going to be battles, and you're going to have ones that you will set aside and they will fight. That was God's still small voice to Elijah. The angels comforted him in the transition time. I believe we can have a prayer to be praying for people that are going through times of endurance. We've prayed for some of them today. People that have asked God for patience. In the time of shaking, God will strengthen the hearts. There will be a prayer answered with our trust being in God alone. We don't know the outcomes, but we continue to trust. Then God brings the comfort and the restoration and the new direction. You know, after Jesus went through his wilderness temptation for 40 days and nights, he ended up on top of a mountain, and God was there. And the angels came and did the same thing as they did for Elijah. They comforted him. And where did he go? He was sent back home. After he was anointed by the Holy Spirit in the Jordan, where he was baptized, and the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." He went out into the wilderness. The Spirit took him out. He battled against Satan for 40 days and 40 nights. Then the final temptation, he's on the top of the mountain and he's shaken. He had emotions just like us. And God says, "Son, you need a break. Sit down." The angels came and looked after him. And then Jesus began to go back to his hometown, where he was to stand and preach his first sermon and speak in the synagogue and declare his vision mandate. The Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And he goes on to announce the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of Jubilee. And so Jesus was sent right back with the still small voice, the prophetic voice that set the course for his ministry. And what I'm encouraging us today to do is, whatever you've been through, you're going to get comfort. It's not a matter of, "Well, that's over. Right, now, next thing, I'll get busy and I'll make something happen." No. If you're in a place where you've been through a time of testing, a time of trial, you've hung in there as faithfully as you could, you've wondered, "Is this prayer ever going to be answered? What more can I do? I seem to have done all that I can and it's taken too long and I don't understand it. It didn't seem to have any purpose." And God's saying, I have used all of that. I have done things that you could not have imagined. Don't rush off. And if you're going to run anywhere, do what Elijah did and run to me. I'm on the mountain. I'm waiting for you. I live there within you. Come to me. And I'll declare what it is that's ahead. But you need to be still. So it's not always about courage, but how to sit and wait. How to recover and rest. How to wait for a future word. Don't look back at the past performances. Don't ask too many questions. What was that all about? It happened. And sometimes it's kind of, there's still a tremble there. It's still happening. You think, "What's happened to me? Have I got my head right? Why am I still feeling perhaps a little bit shaken in all of this?" Well, because it was a shaking. Because the Lord is showing us we're living in a day when all things that can be shaken are being shaken. But then there's the stillness that receives the still small voice of the new thing that God wants you to hear. Elijah had seen the Lord in the wind and the fire and the earthquake on Mount Carmel, but it wasn't there when he was in the cave. I tell you what, if you're in the cave, don't look back and think, "Oh, maybe I'll go and revisit what happened before and I think I can get a result this way." No, God said, "No, I'm not in that. Come out of the cave. Come on. Yes, you can wrap your face in your shawl if you like, but come out, because I've got something new to say into your present stillness." And what I want you to do, he says, is forget the past. Surrender the future. Be present right now. This is the moment. Now, be still, and I'll show you the way. We thank you, Lord, that you do answer prayer your way. You test us often to the limits of our physical and emotional and spiritual capacity. But you strengthen us in that. Then you comfort us at the end of that. And you rest us. And then you speak. Then you create hope for our future. But Lord, we cherish the moment of now when we can hide in you, in that place where we know you are issuing the direction for our future. And we thank you for that patience that comes and the comfort that is your peace that passes all understanding. In Jesus' name, amen.